I want my wife to write only two words in Greek on the board. There's a little space right there. Just two words. Apistia. And underneath it, Pistai. Now, you don't need too much instruction, Tia. You don't need too much instruction to see, take a blue one and underline the peace part of both words. The T, all the way to the T. You don't need too much instruction, you know, to know that that's the New Testament word for faith that translates all the Old Testament words, do you? Peace. Tia. Peace tie, derivative of the verb. Peace tuo, which is written on the other side there. You can go up there and see the three Hebrew words, batak. Go up and point them out. Use a red marker. This is old hat to my folks. Batak. There's a mark underneath it. Batak means to lean on something. Hasa means to run to the shelter of something. Amen is when you can do it with a state of mind that has no doubt. Pistuo, right next to it, is the verb form that all these other words are derived from, which translates all three of those words. Now, the reason I beat this to death is the New Testament, particularly the King James, translates and begins to mix together the words for belief and faith. We would be better off if the word belief were never used to translate a pistuo word. It's only part of pistuo. Pistuo is action. You could preach this message. I'm just here because you have the faith to bring me here. You could preach this part of the message. Pistuo is action based upon belief, sustained and maintained unwaveringly by confidence. Now you can take the Hebrew words it translates, but talk, you can lean on something and not be sure it'll hold you. The more you lean on it, and the more it comes through and supports you. I would guess that the regulars who come here to the cathedral sat down in your chair today and you didn't even ask yourself, I wonder if it'll hold me when I sit in it. I think you probably put that gluttonous part of your body on those red seats often enough that you have an amen state of batakness. I like to make words there. See, I got a sharp congregation. You got the pun connection between buttock and batak. You have an amen state of batakness. You have no doubt when you set your batakness down on that seat, it's going to hold you. It's best not to be so naive as to go through life risking your batakness on everything that's untested. But as you act on belief, confidence builds, and you can sustain the action and risk your batakness. Now, if that helps you remember, God be praised and my sense of humor, which is a gift from Him, be credited. Same with Hasa. Hasa is to see a shelter, need it, and believe it'll shelter you. But you have not expressed Hasa until you run to it. Now, these can be just words or fiber of your being. This is what faith is. Faith is action based on belief, sustained against all odds by confidence. Now, Hebrews makes it very clear in the 11th chapter. It does not. I've heard preachers quote Hebrews 11 as a definition of faith. It's not a definition of faith. It's a statement of what faith accomplishes. Faith substantiates, hypostasis in the Greek. Faith substantiates things hoped for. Faith pragmatizes in the Greek, evidences in a seen world what previously was not seen. It evidences things not seen. That's not a definition of faith. That's a definition of faith's happenings, faith's results. Faith is self-defined by the word pistuo. It is action based upon belief, sustained by confidence. You can't live without faith. Everywhere you go, you're expressing faith. The only choice you have, once you understand the axiomatic or self-evident definition of the word, your only choice is, what's going to be the object of your faith? What can you believe with sufficient confidence you'll risk your life on? That's the faith that is amen faith. You have no doubts any longer. Now, God reached into the stream of language. In the fullness of time, He sent His Son. The language that ruled the world was Greek. He picked words like logos and eulogia and other such words. He picked them because He's chosen to bless us through His words. And He picks a time in the history of man when the most precise language of the world ruled to reveal His eternal word in its fullness through the eternal word who became flesh and spoke the words of eternal life. He chose this word, put a capital letter on it. When the object of your faith is God and His promises, God and His amenness to His word, that is saving faith. When you will trust is okay, believe is not enough. Trust is close to pistuo. When you will not only believe God, but believe who He is, that He's not a man to lie, nor the son of man to repent. When He says something, He'll do it. When He speaks it, He'll make it good. Not like you and I that were turned from something. When your belief is so fixed on God's faithfulness that when He says something, He's already amened it. And when our amen brushes His amen, fact and statement become one. God is faithful and true to His word. When your focus of faith or the object of your faith is God Himself, and His faithfulness to His promise, that invokes the New Testament contract, the New Testament covenant, the New Testament testament, the New Testament righteousness, a new covenant where He will give you His own nature to dwell in you, to be righteous in and through you as a gift. All He wants, that trust. Now, we've been teaching in Romans 4, Abraham, if he was made righteous by works, he has something to boast about, but not in front of God. God knew he didn't have anything to boast of, and I've covered it in 5 messages, so I won't bore you with it today. It was his faith. God promised him the impossible. And he dared to faith that God would do what God said. And because of that trusting faith in God's promise, God credited him, spoke it to him. And when God speaks it, same as fact. God spoke righteousness to him. I mean, I've been 30 years going on it here, trying to tell you, you can't make yourself righteous. You can't even be righteous. Quit trying to show off your righteousness to Christians. They got a pseudo righteousness they're trying to show off. Just ignore them. Only God's righteousness counts with God. And He gives us His righteousness through the Spirit for what counts with Him even more, trust. He can make us righteous. Trust is a free act. You have the freedom to or not to. And it's tough to keep trusting when all odds are against it. Now, the closest thing to a definition in Hebrews 11 is the opening faith act. Fathers know, as Hebrews 11 says, the worlds were formed by faith. Hebrews 1 says Jesus was the voice that spoke the worlds into existence. But faith created everything. God's own amen. He spoke and amended in. He spoke and nothing. Not a thing became everything. Not just rearrange the elements, not just remake the possible, produce the impossibility. From nothing, He spoke everything. That's how faith starts. And the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11 are men and women who come to crossroads where facts say no. The things of time say impossible. God says yes. And impossibility becomes the work of Jehovah, as I preached last Sunday, Yahweh Pila. That's His name, impossibilities. He does what man cannot do. And at the threshold of circumstances that rule our emotions, rule our beliefs, rule our actions, rule our faith, we put faith in what we see. The hero of faith says, what I see contradicts what God has said. And I am at a threshold where I can be a hero of faith, and at the very least, I will go out swinging and say, what happened? I will dare to believe what God said in face of the impossibility that circumstances tell me what He said is. It's impossible for man, but with God, all things are possible. He chooses to wait most of the time for the favor to be the catalyst to bring His action. Now, I could continue. Last Sunday, I was on the God of the impossibility. Abraham's 100 years old. And God said to him, you're going to have a son. And Sarah's 90. You're going to have it with her. He's too old to have a child. He's impotent now. She's past the childbearing age. She can't. She doesn't even menstruate. Well, the Bible doesn't cover things up. Now, just imagine the faith of Abraham. Get ready, Sarah. This is going to work. No Cialis. No Viagra. There's no pump implants. Are you ready, Sarah? You know, put some flesh and blood on the faith action of Abraham. And Sarah, not again tonight. I'm not just trying to be humorous. I mean, they didn't stand 100 feet apart and look at each other and produce Isaac. There wasn't medical developments in those days to do implants. Every time the lights went off, the candles went out in that tent at night, the impossibility is being faced. Now you say you have to be so graphic. Yeah. Because you've read these stories and you pay no attention. Get it right down where we live. This 100-year-old man has dreamed and hoped of the promise that God gave him, that from him the whole earth would be blessed. He arose in a situation of tragedy and walked the width and breadth of the land and was promised that his seed would occupy it. He wavered in the natural. He didn't waver from God's promise. He tried to help God out. He and Sarah had that committee meeting, and with Hagar he produced Ishmael, and after 13 years he loved Ishmael and would beg God that he might have Ishmael before him. And can't you just achieve your purpose, God? I mean, I helped you out. I got you Ishmael before it was too late. Can't you just achieve your promise through him? He's mine. He's half mine. Sarah's not involved, but it was with her permission. Didn't you see all the reasoning and the arguments of let us do God's work for him? No. He's 100 years old and God says, my way. God could have sung Frank Sinatra's song to him. My way. You and Sarah are going to have a child. They laughed. Is anything too hard for God? Is the King James in the Old Testament quote. Is anything Pila impossible for God? No. He's the God of impossibilities. Now, Paul in his writing skips from Abraham to David in the fourth chapter. He goes immediately to David's, the other great hero of faith, to prove that David was saved by faith and not by works. I'm skipping over David and going to the 19th and 20th verse this morning where he returned to Abraham. Will you turn in your Bible to Romans 4, 19 and 20? I have a simple message. Same one I've been preaching. So shall thy seed be, is the way the 18th verse ended. The great promise to Abraham. 19, and being not weak in faith, a pistuo word, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not. Now other translations will have the word waver. I don't like the word waver. I like the word staggered. You get knocked off course. You believe in God and like, bam, you get staggered. I'm staggered. You get staggered. Now, you can stagger and not waver. You can't waver and not waver. You waver, you lose faith. He didn't necessarily lose faith helping God out with Hagar and Ishmael. He just trying to get the job done. More ways than one. Abraham, it says, the 20th verse, staggered not at the promise of God. Well, you can stagger for a lot of reasons. You get hit, I'm staggering. Listen closely. It's okay to stagger. How many of you have staggered? How many of you might be staggering a little right now? I got my hand up. The issue is why you're staggering. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against these principalities and powers, these archos, these exousias, these cosmocratoros, these pneumaticus, porneia, evil forces. The war is on all the time. We're in a fight of faith, not a cherry-picking contest. This is a war, and we're going to get staggered. The issue is what is the staggering cause? He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. That's the first word I had my wife write on the board. Pistia. Now you know I don't have to tell my regular congregation. There's no neutral gear in the Greek language for this word pistuo. You're either faithing or you got it in reverse. There is no neutral gear where you can think about it. You either round, or peace duo, or reverse, ah, peace duo. He staggered not through, it's a different form of the verb, apistia. He didn't stagger through, strike out unbelief. Will you please strike that out of your Bible? And nothing to do with, well, belief's part of faith, but that's not a good translation. He staggered not through anti-faith. He didn't turn from faith. He didn't go the other direction. He didn't just cease believing, start disfaithing. That's the best translation. He staggered not through disfaith. Can you write that in your margin? I don't see anybody write. Write in your margin. He staggered not through disfaith. You understand that? But was strong in faith. Well, circle that word strong. The Greek word is dynamo, from which we get dynamite. Now, I've said this illustration to you many times. Sit on a stick of dynamite, light the fuse, and start singing naively. I shall not be moved. When that dynamite goes off, you is going to move, brother. He staggered not. Oh, I want you to get it today. It's okay to stagger. Why are you staggering? Through disbelief? Or because you begin knocked on your buttocks? I'm knocked on my buttocks, but I'm not staggering through disbelief. That's why I'm here. That's why I preached last Sunday. When we rode in that car or that highway to that hospital, I'm sitting there, I looked at my wife with her set jaw in this diamond lane and one hand on the horn, sailing that freeway. I looked at her set jaw, I knew she's going to get me there. Mine is to get there still alive. And I'm saying what I preached the two previous Sundays, as my day, so shall my strength be. The Lord is my strength. The Lord is my shepherd. I know. I'm like James Cagney. There are times I want to say to God, you dirty rat. He doesn't seemingly come through and let me know he's there. But he always does. It wasn't Gene Scott. It wasn't even fear. It was a prompting of the Holy Spirit. That as we were waiting on that heart doctor, I said, we're out of here. The heart doctor left at 2. My wife was packed by 2:30. The Holy Spirit knew and prompted me. And I'm telling you, the vice president of the hospital, my staff member, Mark Travis, I thought you were going to faint, Mark, when you saw me with the blood running out of my mouth. Yes. I'm sitting there in the car, swallowing the blood, saying, the Lord is my shepherd. He did lead me. I will still be alive sitting in this car when we get there. And I got in that wheelchair, and I'm here this morning. Was I staggered? You may be seated. He staggered not. This is what I want you to get. Third time telling you. It's okay to stagger, folks. When Jesus is being tempted in his weakness, 40 days fasting, and the devil withdraws, the King James says, you know, I preached it. No, he doesn't withdraw. He backs off like a boxer waiting for a new opening. He'll clip you if you drop your guard. This is a fight. Ephesians 6. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Polly, it's old hat to you. I've preached it 30 years. Polly's only used once. Not the Polly of the Hebrew. This is the Greek. Polly in the Hebrew is the impossibility. I'm talking about Polly in the Greek now. The word that means only used in the Olympic Games. of one-on-one wrestling, where each wrestler does not stop until he gets his foot on the neck of the other wrestler and has him down. That's the war we're in. You will be staggered in this battle. Whatever you're facing, like what I'm facing, I was staggered to the point of death. Tuesday night, I was not staggered in disfaith. Disfaith kept me on my feet while disfaith would have taken me down. Faith kept me on my feet while I was staggering. That's the point of this message. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through disfaith, but was dynamited, turned into a dynamo in faith. Pistai. Same word with the A removed. Get it out of reverse. Put it in forward gear, fifth gear if you can, and go like you're a 94 Viper. And strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded, confident, that what he had promised God was able to perform. Therefore it, not staggering through disfaith, but being empowered through faith, it was imputed unto him, declared to him for righteousness. That is the most important thing. Oh, we all want everything here and now. What counts is time versus eternity. We have made this long journey of faith over the years, the trial of faith. Like those who run the marathon. You don't necessarily have to win the race. You've got to make it to that Colosseum. And if you have to crawl across the finish line, you finish the race until you can say, as Paul said, I kept the faith. I finished my course. God wants you and me faithing. He will honor his word, and yes, he gave the promise to Abraham. He's going to give the promise of healing to me. His word is without fail. But I want to read you a couple of translations and I'm done. From the 26th translation, his faith never quailed, Moffat says, even when he noted the utter impotence of his own body, for he was about 100 years old, or the impotence of Sarah's womb. 20th century New Testament, though he was nearly 100 years old, yet his faith did not fail him, even when he thought of his own body, then utterly worn out, and remembered that Sarah was past bearing children. He staggered not at the promise of God through disfaith. On the contrary, his faith gave him the power and the strength to achieve what God had promised because of his faith. And for that, he's the father of faith and righteousness by faith. Footnote, what's the message to me today? What's the promise that no matter how staggered I may be with the blows from Satan and from time, what is the promise that I can grab hold of, and though staggered, not stagger through disbelief, but be empowered by faith? The nitro pill that I preached is a long message. I can preach it as a sentence. A promise of God eternal. A promise that has his amen behind it. A promise that when my amen grabs it, is mine to keep. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not put out. The smoking flax is the wick on the edge of a little Hebrew lamp. Doesn't have much flame left. It's just smoking. But he'll not quench it. Smoking flax, that little life spiritual life through faith, he won't quench it. The bruised reed, broken, almost ready to die. Bruised, life in danger. He won't break it. New Testament's quoting the Old Testament, quoting out of Isaiah. My God gives me this promise. Gene, you're a bruised reed. You're better today, but you were smoking flax. And this is my promise to you and to those of your congregation facing similar circumstances, wherever you may be, that say, that's me. I'm a bruised reed. I'm smoking flax. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax, oh glory to his name, shall he not quench. Burn on, saints. You will keep on living in faith. Do not stagger through disbelief. Staggering is part of the trip. But a bruised reed shall he not break. Smoking flax shall he not quench. And that's my message today.